Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, my colleague, Executive Director of the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center. We look at events from Eurasia these last days for interpretation. The beginning. In Moscow, the conversation between the presidential administration, Mr. Putin, and the Duma, the legislative branch, lowered the threshold in which the Russian Federation can respond with a nuclear weapon to an attack, lowered the threshold. The presumption being that if you are attacked by a nuclear power, even if it is not a nuclear weapon, you are free to use one, says the Duma, and Mr. Putin backs it up. Second incident, the as yet uncertain cutting of two cables in the Baltic Sea. Uncertain because it is not clear whether it is sabotage, whether it is purposeful, whether it is nature. There are investigations. There have been hot remarks made by such as the German defense minister blaming Russia, but there is no evidence of that fact as of yet, as I understand the news from Europe. The third is an episode that is as now requiring Henry's help, because it's the firing of what is characterized in Europe as an ICBM that strikes Ukraine. Mr. Putin, however, regards it as an experimental hypersonic missile. Henry, a very good evening to you. There is kinetic warfare. That would be a nuclear weapon. There is hybrid warfare. Help us understand these episodes in that context. Good day to you.
It's always a pleasure. I'm glad to be back. Well, I think that the lowering of the threshold is a very astute and continuing ploy. It may be real, but even if it isn't, we have Mr. Biden who, you know, wrung his hands about, oh, my God, we don't want to start World War III. And as a result, pulled his puncheon, giving the potent weapons and authority to strike that Zelensky wanted, I don't know, 1,000 days ago. But we're getting a new administration that in its own way is every bit as hyperbolic about worrying about World War III as Mr. Biden, which is kind of not noticed because, well, Biden is supposed to be weak and different than Trump. But they're both very, very emphatic that we have to make sure that World War III doesn't occur. Well, I think the Russians understand this. They want peace on their terms, and they want Mr. Trump, I think, to look weak in this matter. And so, you know, lowering the threshold on something Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump both are publicly fretting about is a smart move. Now, meanwhile, I think Mr. Putin understands that to keep NATO on its knees and not willing to, you know, strike with their weapons, or I should say, give authority for Zelensky to strike with their weapons deep, you have to cow them by great warfare. And if it was just, you know, an incident with two cables being cut by a ship that's Chinese that visited a Russian port and a Russian captain, as best we can tell, steering the darn thing. Okie dokie, maybe we can cut some slack. But this is the second time or so that this has occurred. Not only that, there are train derailments that have been going on in Finland, Norway, and Sweden that have been tied to the Russians. So they've been engaged in a lot of gray warfare. There also were military drone overflights of German reactors, which the Germans have formally complained about. So they're playing gray warfare also to push the European NATO nations back on their heels. Finally, this latest strike with the weapon that's novel. It is the first time a very long-range conventional missile with multiple warheads has ever been used in war. It's, I think, a window onto the future, and perhaps we can get into that a little bit more because I've gone on a little bit to answer your first question.
All right, so we have two instances of kinetic warfare. Presuming the word experimental is not meant to discomfort us, all right, but is simply a description of a hypersonic missile. We can talk about that hypersonic missile because it's capable of carrying, we're told, nuclear warhead. However, you find that it would be more effective if it was non-nuclear. How do you interpret that, Henry?
Well, I mean, the first observation is there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of ballistic and cruise missiles fired at Ukraine. All of them could and were designed to carry either non-nuclear or nuclear warheads. So that's not new. What's new is that this thing travels at speeds because it's so long range. It can go way up in a lofted trajectory and come down at Mach 10. Air defenses don't work, number one. Number two, you do have to worry that something that long range would be uneconomical to deliver conventional payloads, and therefore there might be a presumption of, well, whatever that is might be nuclear. It's not for nothing that the Russians went out of the way for that reason in this single instance to, you know, notify the United States that it was about to fire something that it was non-nuclear. That's a window, I think, into the future of missile exchanges that might be very long range. It didn't get noticed, but you know the Chinese, according to the Pentagon, are working on a similar kind of missile that will be intercontinental. And they've already made a boost glide vehicle that could go on top of such a thing. And, you know, that's supposed to come in the next 6 years. So it could be that the Russians gave us a peek into the future here.
About hybrid warfare, gray warfare.
Yes.
Do you find it effective, the cutting of cables with no certainty of why it was done or who did it?
Well, I mean, surely the message is if you don't want to lose your infrastructure, you might think twice about our general complaints. And you don't have to say it publicly. It's inferred. We've seen the same thing going on with the Chinese and how they've disrupted various communication systems that Taiwan relies on, to say nothing of other logistical matters. I think it has tons of advantages. Also, you've noticed that the first thing that the Russians did was deny that they were fighting a state, that it actually was a domestic matter.
We have 30 seconds, Henry, 30 seconds.
I think you'll see this with regard to Taiwan and South Korea. And so gray warfare, unfortunately, is going to be much more in our future.
Henry Sokolsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. He's the executive director. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the Vyvgart Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VyvgartMyWay.com. That's VYVGARTMyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about Vyvgart Hytrulo. Brought to you by Argenix.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.